Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's story is a small business tries a new approach with a compressed workday, but there are restrictions, and two small businesses stumble into free publicity. Those stories after this. Running a business is hard work, but getting the right insurance coverage for it doesn't have to be. Geico Commercial Insurance makes it easy to get excellent coverage so you spend less time worrying and more time growing your business. Geico Commercial Insurance offers great coverage like general and professional liability, business owner's policy, workers' comp, and so much more. Go to geicocommercial.com for more information and to start your coverage today. That's geicocommercial.com. If your company suddenly rolled out a 25-hour work week with certain restrictions, would you go for it? How would your clients feel if you weren't available after lunch because your typical day was 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.? A consulting firm in Germany is trying it and finding success. More from Eric Marath, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Eric, what's going on?
They had this kind of radical idea, which is rather than, you know, have workers socializing, checking Facebook, you know, even taking lunch breaks, say, hey, let's just get the work done in 5 hours and then go home. And so this is a different idea. And, you know, they say so far, it's been around for a little more than a year, they're actually getting pretty good results, that workers are happier, the clients aren't upset, and, you know, they're basically getting the same amount of work done and working, you know, 3 hours less every day.
Wow. All right. So what are some of the restrictions here?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of them. You know, first, you know, there's no, put your phone in your backpack, no social media. Also, no company email, only twice a day. They check the email when they get in, about a half hour before they leave, and they don't spend the rest of the time getting those reply all messages. They skip the email. They try not to go on the Slack channel or these instant messengers in the office that a lot of people might be familiar with. They kind of say that that kind of creates this sort of annoying distraction. Instead, they try to limit that to sort of yes, no, let's meet type of comments, and then actually have brief, you know, one-on-one meetings to solve problems. But don't talk about the football game or the TV show last night. Just let's focus, get the things done, and move on. And then the last one, which I really like, is they try to keep meetings to 15 minutes. And the way they do that is they prepare for the meetings. They have an agenda. They have to think about and justify who's going to be at the meeting. So it's not, hey, all 16 people that work at this company, I want to spitball this. This is what we need to get done, and then we leave with action instead of trying to, you know, do the work while you're in the meeting.
Wow. All right. So you referenced clients, right? The workday typically is 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. What if you're, yep, you got a client's got, you know, 12:45 in the afternoon, shoot you an email like, hey, I got an emergency. I mean, what you can't just tell them, sorry, my day wraps up in 15 minutes.
Right, right. Yeah. So, I mean, they pretty openly acknowledge this, that, you know, not everybody is able to do this every day. You know, the parallel I draw is it's sort of like for them, 1 o'clock is what 5 o'clock is for a lot of people. You know, sometimes you can leave at five, right? And sometimes you can't. You know, and there wasn't like a mass exodus right at 1 o'clock, but, you know, people sort of trickle out or they join their colleagues for lunch in the conference room. But a couple guys had to stay. There was a problem with a client and they're working on it. So, you know, the goal is to sort of stick to 5 hours. And when they go over to that, they're kind of working the overtime. But they say for the most part, you know, good planning and communication with the clients, you know, they understand it. Now, they're in a little bit more of a kind of a project-based business. So they sort of plot out how they can fix a thing over 2 weeks. And so this probably wouldn't necessarily work for a business that's kind of always on call. But their CEO suggests that maybe if you had staggered schedules or things like that, you'd still be able to accomplish, you know, similar ideas.
We're speaking with Eric Marath, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called The 5-Hour Workday Gets Put to the Test. And he looked at a consulting firm in Germany that's given it a shot. What about emails at night? You're not to be checking them like on your phone or anything?
Yeah, no, they want to let people live their lives outside of the office. So that was kind of part of the idea here. But, you know, it's interesting. Some people, you know, there's also this idea of like the 4-day work week is another kind of similar concept that's out there. And you know, Lasse, their CEO, is, he was actually against that. He says, you know, I do kind of want people to come in every day or be online every day because I don't want it to go 3 days without getting back in touch with, you know, a client or something along those lines. But he said, you know, do we have to answer the email at 8 o'clock at night? You know, he said, no, like, let people have their time and then really, really focus and get the job done in 5 hours.
Wow. So has this led to a better home life, happier employees, more production, loyalty?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think his goal is trying to maintain the same level of production. But he says, yeah, employees are much happier, healthier. I mean, they talked about being able to, like, get out in the fresh air and exercise and play basketball. Those get back to hobbies. So he gets the sense that people are happier. He even said that he was able to hire somebody, had like an award-winning designer that, you know, he was kind of out of his firm's reach, but she was actually looking for part-time work because she had a young child at home. And he said, hey, I'll give you a full-time job, but you only have to work kind of part-time hours. And she was definitely on board with that. So he said he's actually able to attract better talent because of it. I will say the employees, though, would say, you know, it's not a walk in the park. Like, it is a high stress, you know, 5 hours. And when I was there, I did observe that. I mean, people kind of walk fast through the office, and it's fairly quiet, and you can sort of see that, like, people are kind of, you know, crunched. So it's not like a leisurely 5 hours and then you take off.
Sure. The CEO, I presume, and managers have to lead here and set good examples.
Yeah. And, he, you know, he talked about that, you know, you can't set this and then expect, you know, your workers then that, well, they'll answer your email because they're the boss, you know. And, you know, he said he tries to get out of there as well. Now, he did say that, you know, senior managers are probably going to be more likely to be the ones that have to jump on, respond to a client, or at least quarterback stuff. So it's less, the more senior you are, the less likely you can really limit it to 25 hours a week, but certainly they have to be part of the process. And they said, you know, they're working more like, you know, 30 or 35 hour weeks instead of 50, 60 hour weeks. So similarly, a reduction in hours.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Marath, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. More after this.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
We'll finish with this. Here's a guy who might deserve a raise, even if it's just a raise of a pint glass. An office worker in Grand Rapids, Michigan, has a very effective way of getting free drinks while he's at work. According to local TV reporters, diners at New Holland Brewing's Knickerbocker have noticed a sign hanging from a third-floor office in the same building as the restaurant. The sign, which reportedly stands several feet tall, says, quote, "Please send beer to Sam on floor 3. Thank you." The third floor office is rented out by an advertising agency. And that sign, well, it seems to work. According to the general manager of the restaurant, more than a few customers have indulged the office worker, 85 of them to be exact at last count. According to a tally being kept at the restaurant, the famous Sam from the sign is said to be Sam Hotz, who works as a senior digital strategist at the ad agency. He claims to have been inspired to make the sign while seeing advertisements while watching a soccer game. Sam's become so popular, in fact, that the restaurant is considering introducing a third-floor Sam brew over the next few months. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.